Good morning, family. It's good to see everybody here, mom especially, moms-to-be. I like how Carrie put it, bonus moms. That's pretty good. I think some of us have bonus moms in our life that have impacted us, and I'm just glad you're here, family, and enjoy the day. It's a beautiful day outside. Gorgeous weekend. As a teacher, my last week, school's almost over. It's going to be great. Have the summer off, recharge the batteries, cut the lawn multiple times a week. Harvest my lawn, just so I'm in the vernacular here with everybody, right? So, but I'm glad you're here. And we celebrate today and honor moms. We are blessed through our moms in many ways. Amen. I lost my mom in 2003, totally unexpected. And even in our prayers this morning, it's obvious that life is unexpected, isn't it not? I mean, we go in for surgeries and death happens. We go in for surgery to avoid death and death happens. We go for medical checkups. We go for investigating things and we find things more. We don't know what to do. So we ought to honor our moms fully as much as we can today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till next week. In my case, I remember my mom had been through a successful surgery that was really kind of touch and go, made it right through the surgery. 30 days later, she was sitting up having her morning, getting ready for her morning coffee, and the nurse came back and she had passed, and something had let loose, a blood clot or something. And so I had just talked to her the day before, and unexpectedly, I never got a chance to say I love her. So today is the day, people. Do that if you can, if you're blessed and you've got that opportunity. Or, as Carrie said, the bonus moms. Maybe there's a bonus person that you need to talk to and just say, you know what? You had an impact on my life, and I love you, and I say thank you. And my life would be far different without you in my life. So thank you. Do that. There's people like that in our lives. And I know some of you are doing that to some of our kids' lives. It's interesting you talk about our youth group. Our youth group, our kids are from, we are from five or six different churches that come here. Small rural churches struggle to put, you know, those kind of self-sustaining ministries together. And I'm just blessed that I've got a partner that we can do this together and we're touching kids' lives. They're in the choir programs. They're in the music programs. They're in the sports programs. They're in the honor society programs. And these are good kids and they just need to hear about Jesus. And I'm glad. And I say thank you for all those of you who faithfully this year blessed us with great meals. The kids love having a home-cooked meal. We can go get pizza all the time. We can go get the fast food stuff. But it's those home-cooked meals that really touch their lives. So thank you for the opportunity to do that through that. So today we honor moms. And it's interesting how we all come to the table about what mom means and how we would define mom and think about moms and call somebody mother or our mom. And today, if you know this, mom's mother for all the living, you would recognize where that came from in the Bible. It's in Genesis, and that's the way Adam defined Eve, the mother of all living things. So we're going to go deeper into that, but let's begin with a word of prayer as we celebrate today. Father, thank you for this morning. Oh, gosh, let's just stop and slow down and enjoy this moment. Lord, again, I call it building margin into our lives, and for many of us, sometimes just Sunday mornings is the only margin we have. The busyness of life, maybe we can put the kids comfortably away in the care of somebody else where we can just stop and soak in your truth. Lord, I know also there's farmers and workers in the field today working diligently to provide for their families. And many times the moms and the wives and the support are supporting them while they do that. Lord, we know that they are working hard to care for their families. And Lord, as we celebrate, let us just open your word up. Let's just read your word and just grow deep into your truth. Let us just soak it up. The world needs hope. And as we struggle today in the darkness of this world, there's just so many negative things happening. It seems like when you turn on the TV, I think we need to just stop turning on that TV and open up your word and just meditate there, Lord. Grow closer to you through your spirit and grow closer to you through the love that we just feel through your son, Jesus. Father, thank you for this morning. And Lord, we just lift our arms up to you and say thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So moms, mother for all the living, as we celebrate and honor Mother's Day. I found this morning on Facebook. I just wanted to kind of inject it in there from one of my friends. It's a little bit hard to read, but happy Mother's Day. This is on Facebook. It's kind of going around, and it talks about the working mom, a stay-at-home mom, a single mom, an adoptive mom, a foster mom, a stepmom, a mom-to-be, a mom in heaven, or a mom who lost a child. Anybody on there identify with somebody at least once on their list? Maybe multiples. So that's, I post this knowing this is just a short list. There's a whole lot more out there that describes moms, amen? It's a nice list, and it's a great place to start. But this is one way that we can describe Happy Mother's Day and our moms today. Another take on moms. I found this was kind of interesting. This is from Richard Kerr, quoted in Homemade magazine, February of 1989. The most creative job in the world involves fashion, decorating, recreation, education, transportation, psychology, romance, cuisine, literature, art, economics, government, pediatrics, geriatrics, entertainment, maintenance, purchasing, law, religion, energy, and management. Anyone who can handle all these has to be somebody special. She's a homemaker. Amen. So that's another way of looking at how to describe moms. I just thought it was kind of interesting. But let me go a little bit deeper, but here's today's readings. We're going to be in Genesis and in Luke and a couple other verses elsewhere in the Bible. But here's the truth today. No matter how you define moms, this is the truth. God uses ordinary people, to do extraordinary things. Amen? Our moms, no matter what your circumstances or your situation and how healthy that was or good or bad, God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And that's what we honor and celebrate today, those extraordinary things. If you just have a moment to pause sometime today and just realize how much influence our moms have had on our lives, it's pretty impressive. When we stop and think about all the things they sacrificed, all the things they gave up, all the things they willingly did. Now, some of us, sadly, have maybe not have such a good situation, and I get that. But God also seems to have brought in my case, I lost my father when I was young, he brought in my friend's dads to help me. And maybe that's the same way for moms in some of our lives. Cherish those moments today. We don't know how much longer we have. We don't know what tomorrow brings. Those little footprints and little handprints and the flower goes flying in the kitchen and the opportunities to burn something. And who knows what those opportunities are. Take somebody roller skating for the first time. Take them dress shopping. Take them shoe shopping. Just go have fun. Have fun today. So God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And the reason I bring that up is because I think the model, whatever we use to describe moms, the best way to do that, the most healthy way to do that is to understand how God designed moms. God designed moms. He created moms. And I think the best place to define, you can look at, sadly, you can look at movies and TV, and you're going to get a picture of moms today. And it used to be different. I think moms, I remember watching some great movies growing up, and moms were the mainstay, the aprons. You know, they had the cookers, the stay-homes. They took care and loved, and they pulled the families together. Something changed. And now the women, moms have changed. They're like super moms. They're super people. And the expectations of the world on women to be this super mom is an incredibly strong and powerful and sadly, I think in many ways debilitating for women to have to endure. And let me explain. Because I think women are being asked today to do things that they were never designed to do in God's design. Not that they're not capable. Please don't walk away thinking that I'm saying that women are not capable. That's not what I'm saying. But God had an original design for the roles of the husband and the father and for the moms and the women. And when we have deviated from that, or we've fallen from that, and it started with the first sin in the Bible, don't get me wrong. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But God had an original design. But he uses ordinary people today to do extraordinary things. So here's my take. Well, I did a little thing, fun thing, to get ready for this sermon. Remember that long list of duties, the responsibilities? And ladies, that list probably, I butchered it. You know, that quote, there's so many other things that y'all do. I get that. But I went to a website. It's a listing by alphabetical order, all job titles that you could think of. When you think of job titles for mom, what would you think of? And so I just put the acronym mom in. I said, what would the first letter, if I was to define moms, what would that look like? Marshall. And I don't mean the city, Linda. Marshall. Okay, as an athletic director, I knew these people a lot. These are the umpire, the referees, and the sports officials. I think that's a great first letter for what a mom does. Amen. I grew up in a big family of seven kids, and we needed an umpire fighting over the chicken bones, fighting over dinner, fighting over the cars, fighting over the clothes. Who got the pants without the holes in the knees? Who got the socks that matched? The underwear, we won't talk about that, okay? but mom, my mom was an umpire. Call them balls and strikes. Amen. We all have moms or people that have influenced us like that. That's what I think is the best way to describe the first letter, M. Now, what do you think I would say for O? Ombudsman. You ever bumped into an ombudsman? If you've been in the corporate world or the business world, you're familiar with that term. Arbiter. Mediator. Conciliatory. My mom, not only was she the umpire, but she had us make peace, and she had us work together. And for some reason, odd reason, and I tried to think of some specifics, but it seemed like she was forever between my little brother and I, kind of holding us apart by the foreheads, because we were going to fight it out. We were going to, over the stupidest, silliest things. But she had a way of bringing us together, amen? Moms have a way of bringing families together. Moms have ways of breaking through that ice and holding it together when things are tough and when things are going well. But ombudsman, I thought that was classic. Next one, what's the other M going to be? Oh, by the way, in this database, I wrote it down somewhere. Let me see if I can find it. There's something like 2,500 job titles with the letter M in this description. Under O, there was almost 900. Just think about that for a minute. Now, the last M. Molder, a molder. That was a job profession. You don't talk about it much anymore, but pattern maker, that was what they did in the Navy. They would make molds. They would, out of sand. And in the mold would be poured bronze or metals, steel. And they would make things. That's how we used to make things. Swords, wheels, axles, nails, hammers. Shaper, caster, pourer. Just look at this list for a minute. This is Pastor Rich's attempt to be a little humorous, but also kind of, in my mind, describe to you how I grew up viewing moms, my mom, the influence my mom had on my life. She taught me how to be fair. She taught me how to think of the other person before I necessarily thought of myself. Remember, Jewish, Catholic parents. I had the Ten Commandments sitting staring at me, Jesus on there and JFK on the mantelpiece. I learned about fairness at an early time in my life. Doesn't necessarily mean I practice it willingly or capably, but I know what it means to be fair, to take care of others. My mom modeled the behavior of sacrifice. And moms, you know this. Grandmas, you know this. Ladies, you know this. You know, you got a pie, you cut it up into six slices, but you got 7 mouths. So you cut one up a little bit different size and you give yours away and everybody gets pie, except mom. Ombudsman, she taught me how to be a mediator, to recognize conflict and to stop and say, what's best for the situation? I remember her voice saying that, asking, what's best for everybody, not just you? Oh, I don't want to hear that. I want number one, take care of number one. And then this molder. Where would I be today if my mom's handprints weren't on my spirit, my life? You are doing this to your kids, your grandkids, your neighbor's kids, your relatives' kids. This is what your influence is. You're marshaling, you're being an ombudsman, but you're being a molder of the future. So my take, but rather than my take or the Facebook take or what the internet says about job descriptions and whatever, I want to take us to what God's design is. And this one, I call this one, it's not, didn't say God's direction, because it's interesting. In Genesis 2 and Genesis 3, God had a design, didn't he, Roger, for the original man and woman. But then we messed up. And God's design was no longer the model that was implemented, but God had to make a change. And then he gave us a direction. So where I want to start is in Genesis chapter 2. Oops. Sorry, I'll get that later. Starting in verse 15, this is God's design. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." The Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." This is God's original design. God's design for woman is to be a helper, to be a partner. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he could name them, or what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was his name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs, closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now my bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman, for she was taken out of man." Verse 24, "That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. And Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." That's God's design. In the Garden of Eden, it was designed for man and woman to live together in harmony, to be partners, to cohabitate, to live together in peace with creation. A partner, partnership. Not what we see in the world today, sadly. Not what the movies would portray, not what Facebook would portray, not what maybe even our reality would portray. God had an original design. And so what I'm going to put up here on this outline, and if you look at your outlines, I called them biblical moms. 1, 2, and 3. So I have a little space here, and I'm going to put down a bunch of bullets of words that come out from these areas of the scriptures. And I want you to record what you think is important, the things that you identify with, or the things that you hear that strike you. And so God's direction in Genesis is a little bit different. When you go to the next chapter in Genesis, after the fall, we read this. It's in Genesis chapter 3. The sin has occurred. And Adam and Eve's eyes are opened. To the woman, he said this. This is God talking to Adam and Eve now. "I will make you your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desires will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam, he said this. "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the trees, about which I had commanded you not to, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you are taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." Adam named his wife Eve, because she would become mother of all the living. You see, God had a design. He had a plan. And we kind of stepped in and intruded and did our own thing because we listened to Satan. And now we're living out the faults. And if you read a little bit further, just past this, God says he bars them. He kicks them out of Garden of Eden, and he bars them from getting anywhere near the tree of life because they can't eat from both. You either have knowledge or you have life. And they made a choice. So the first one that I put up was helper. When you read that section in Genesis chapter 3, you read this very much helper, a partner, companion, a companion. There's the partner again. What's the difference between a partner and a helper? If you work in the business world, you work in a job site, Kenny, you had a lot of helpers, didn't you? Apprentices that worked with you. Would you call them your partner? Yeah. All the time? No. Kenny's slowing down on the answer a little bit of time. I know a lot of couples that are married, and they help each other. They do things. They split the chores up. They do whatever, all the stuff around the house. But then things get a little tense, and I wouldn't call it a partnership. It's not a mutually acceptable or agreeable terms in some cases. And so the fighting starts, and the bitterness comes in. It happened in my first marriage. It was no longer a partnership. We were helping each other, but we weren't partners. We weren't trying to achieve a goal the same way for both of us. We were on different paths at that place. A provider. God's design or his direction, you will provide. The childbearer. God originally said, I don't care what the world tries to tell you right now, or the people with the weird hair and the tats and the personalities that are like whatever. Women bear the children. Men don't. I don't care what you think or say or whatever anybody says. God's original design and direction was that the women be the childbearer. They have the equipment, they have the personality, and they've got the job duty. Collaborator. Collaborator. Work together. Plan. Women have unique skills and talents that only women can do. And when we confuse that and we mix it up, we tell women you have to be in the workplace, or we create situations through education skills, through job duties, through expenses of living, and you force them to have to get out of the home in a place where God originally designed it, and you force them to have to go somewhere else. I think you're bumping into possible problems and burdens for the women. Again, I'm not talking about capabilities. I've met some very capable women in the workplace, outside of the home, very capable. In ministry, my wife is a very blessed VBS person. I do not have the gift of VBS. She works with children better than I could ever imagine. But you want me to fix your website? You want me to put your registration forms together, your PowerPoints? I can handle that. And when we stick to the things that we were gifted and we were designed to do, I think we're better off. And when we force it to be unnatural or unnecessary in many cases. My mom, being a single mom, well, she had still five kids at home after my dad died. I think at one time I counted four jobs. All at the same time. And she still managed to show up at my school events or my sporting events as much as she could. I don't walk around ever saying, my mom never was there for me, Roger. I think in my heart of hearts, she was. As much as she could. But she was working four jobs at one time. Crazy. I know what that means to suffer and to give up and to sacrifice. But when I think of this list and God's direction, after the sin, he said, you're going to be a helper, a companion, a partner, a provider, childbearer, and collaborator. Well, there's not a whole lot about God's original design, but can you imagine, just let your mind go there, if sin hadn't happened? Because she was still going to have kids. She was designed with the plumbing. That was her job and the equipment. Man had a job. Women had a job. But where would we be? What would be the difference? Just sometimes we need to think about that. Maybe that's another sermon. All right, so some of those words, you might write those all down. Maybe only one or two of them really stick out to you. Now the next one, the next place that he designs or defines a mom is Jesus' mother, Mary. And there's two places, well, there's lots of places in the New Testament, but the most significant one that I picked on first was before Jesus was born. when Mary was just a young girl. And there's a lot to be told about what he says and what God does through Mary. So in the book of Luke, I'm going to read this real quickly. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth. This is Mary's family, Jesus' family. This is where John the Baptist comes from. John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. So in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God said, what were you doing in your sixth month of pregnancy, ladies? I mean, clothes don't fit anymore. you're hungry for things maybe that you've never really been hungry about. Some of y'all are laughing at me, I know. I'm sorry? sweating, you know, irritable. I'm just sharing some of the things that maybe I experienced in my three trips around the pole with pregnancy and my wife. In the 6 months, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of Man of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her own age, in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your words be fulfilled to me." And then the angel left. You see, Jesus' birth mom, Mary, is a role model in many ways. A model that I would point people to. Forget about Hallmark, forget about Facebook. But let's talk about what God said about Mary. Now, before you go any further, let me just stop here also. I'm not in any way saying that I'm expecting or I would expect that all women are just like Mary. That's not what I'm saying here. As much as God had a design for Eve in the beginning, he has a definition of a mom, a holy mom, that I think we can all look to and aspire to be. First one, honorable. Mom should be honorable. Willing. Highly favored. The angel gave Mary assurance. Don't worry. If I had an angel come and talk to me, I wondered what I did wrong. is my time up? What's going on here? And he says, don't worry. You're highly favored. God loves you. Obedient. Mary, and we know the story later, she gets pregnant. And it becomes obvious, and Joseph takes her to his hometown for the census, and she's pregnant. And people know they haven't gotten married yet. And you know what that means, right? Uh-oh. I got that relative coming in from out of town. She's pregnant. Breaking all the rules. People just, they see it, and they just assume things. Mary was obedient, even onto the possibilities of the persecution because of her status. She was righteous. Thirdly, the third place that I would point to, and it's hard to point to a specific place like the first two examples, but all throughout the New Testament, you start to see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and through all the New Testament of Jesus' life, Mary shows up. Do you know the last place that Mary's talked about in the Bible? Acts chapter 2. That's when she's with them after the time that Jesus died and died on the cross, and he came back to be with his disciples. Mary's there with him. That's the last time we hear about Mary. But it's important that you know that all throughout the New Testament, you pick up little glimpses of Mary and the importance of her role, being an earthly mom, this third category. So I don't have a specific set of verses, but I just want you to point out, here's some of the things that come out of when you read the New Testament about Mary. She was respected. She was respected. When the apostles, when Jesus was doing his ministry, they adored her. They loved on her. They took care of her. They protected her. And she was respected for her place and her position. She was a provider. She provided for the family. I love the story when they came back to Jerusalem, Joseph and Mary, and they took him to town. And Jesus beat feet, and he went to the carnival. No, I'm only kidding. He went to the temple. He went to the temple and started teaching. And people were amazed. And then they laughed. that we hear the stories, sadly, of moms that, or anybody, grandma, parents, dads, you forget the kids in the back seat. And God forbid something happens, you know, because they're in a car. But they laughed. They left. They packed up the tent, beat feet, going the other way, going back to home. And then they realize, where's Jesus? Does anybody have any stories? You ever think about leaving your kids? Not by choice. You forgot. I bet you there's been a moment you've had that thought. Did I just leave them somewhere? Maybe you didn't. Maybe just the thought is bad enough. But it's like when you forget to turn the coffee pot off, or did I turn the crock pot off, or did I lock the door? My big thing is when I leave my house, I have these automatic garage door things, and I forget whether I hit the garage door or not, you know? And I've got everything hanging out, and everybody can see all my mess or steal all my stuff. But we do. We get so preoccupied, and we forget we got the little ones. I know what it feels like. Dads feel this too. You go to the store, you got all those wonderful clothing racks that are about up to here, right? Uh-oh, Trish, you know where I'm going. And the kids take off and go, whoop, and they're hiding in the clothing racks. And you got to go down here and you got to look for the feet because they're hiding. And you can hear their snickers, you know, and they're trying to get away and play. And your heart's going, boom, boom, boom. I don't know what it'd be like to leave Jesus behind, but they left town and they had to come back. But she provided food, nourishment, protection. She was a teacher. Jesus, he was both God and man. And I want to watch this on the Blu-rays when I get to heaven. Did Jesus come fully loaded with the great latest software package of God's intelligence when he was born? You know what I'm saying? Was he perfectly smart from day one? Because I know Mary taught him some things about life. Mary taught him how to be a boy, his dad taught him how to be a carpenter, how to work with wood, how to work with his hands. But she taught him how to be polite, she modeled these behaviors. She was a teacher. How do you teach God anything? So when I get to heaven, I want to watch these things because I got a question. How much did she teach him? And I think a lot. Because there's that part that even though he's God and God knows everything, he's omnipresent and omniscient, and well, those are the big theology words, but he also was human. And she taught him some things about people, about living, and about being good. She demonstrated it. She's identified as a believer. She never lost faith. Even when her son was taken captive and put on trial, I got to wonder, as a mom, he didn't do anything wrong. He was not guilty. And the greatest fear I would have for anybody, my wife included, that the kids would be challenged and arrested for things that they didn't do. And how do you defend that? You know, how do you say, no, honor? You know, you start to think all that stuff. What would you do? You'd go to the ends of the world to protect and to save your child. She's a promoter. I don't know if you think that name talks a lot about moms, but when the wedding happened in Canaan, and there the wine was running out, what did Mary do? Hey, I know this guy. I know this guy, Cody, her son. Let me get Jesus. And Jesus came in and turned what? The water into the best wine of the night. She promoted her son. You need to know this guy. You need to listen to him. So somewhat, you know, parents do this all the time. I got the best looking baby. I got the best, smartest kid. I got the best baseball player. We all do that because in our world, that is. And I got to wonder how many other moms are competing. Well, you didn't need to listen to my son. Your son's not God. He's not Jesus. He's not from heaven. He's not born of a virgin. How do you compete with that? You imagine sitting around the bunco night, Mary sitting there with her bunco buddies. I'm just being funny here. Tell us about your son. Tell us about your baby. Mm-hmm. Well, Joseph's dad, but let me tell you about this angel thing. Let me tell you about I love this joke I saw on Facebook. When he had his first bath, did he part the water? Did he ever get a bath because he's walking on the water? Moms, get in the bathtub. She promoted him. And then lastly, we know this. At the cross, Mary was there. And Jesus, you could just feel his love for his mom. And he told his brother, you're going to take care of her. But while he was on the cross, she was praying for him. She was a witness. That's why I said, my mom had four jobs. They were doing all kinds of crazy things. Babysitting, adult sitting, working a donut shop, cleaning. Menial labor, hard labor, I get it. But she still showed up for my baseball games. She still showed up for my King Puddinhead performance when I was in first grade. I still remember that. She showed up for my graduation when walking was starting to become a problem and she had to walk out on the football field and get in the stands. Sometimes this right here is the greatest thing that we can do for our kids is to show up. I deal with kids at school every day where their parents don't show up. Mom somewhere, dad somewhere, or they're not maybe not even in the picture, and so they're with somebody else. And the kids need somebody to show up in their lives, to be a mom and a dad, to be that figure that they can look up to and model. This is not a list that I'm saying you have to absolutely do all these. No. This is just a list that you can aspire to strive for. And God included these things in the Bible for us to learn from, to grow from. By the way, I'm going to have a similar message for dads. So dads, don't think you're exempt. You're out of the picture on this one. I'm going to do the same kind of thing for the dads. I have a little funny story I want to share with you. Remember I told you about extraordinary people? Extraordinary people. Here's an illustration I thought was pretty funny. Dave Finkelstein in Reader's Digest had this to say. The mother of three notoriously unruly youngsters. Anybody in here fit that role? Unruly youngsters was asked whether or not that she would have children if she had to do it all over again. You ever been asked that question? Would you do it all over again? Yes, she replied, but not the same ones. Oh, gosh. I remember how much I put gray hairs in my mom's head, on her head. Stupid stuff. I thought it was the coolest thing in the world because I was hanging out with my buddies and, you know, getting street cred. And my mom's over here worrying and praying. I didn't understand it at the time. And she didn't say a word. And my mom had that mom look. You know what I'm talking about? And she locks eyes on you. And she locked eyes on me, and I knew that I had broken her heart. I'd crushed her in my stupidity, and that I'd fallen short. My mom thinking, she didn't have to think anything. She just had to give me that look. You know what I mean? You see, God had an original design. The Garden of Eden. Where would we be differently? What would be happening in the world today if that original sin hadn't happened? Maybe another sin would have come along. Who knows? But in God's plan, he had to then set a direction. And we have a role to play. We have a role to fulfill. We have a role to model. And our world needs hope. And I think the wonderful gift of moms that God designed and he directed has the greatest impact on our worlds that you can imagine. And we need moms. We need spiritual moms. We need moms that know God and are obedient and willing. So here's a closing. Ilian Jones, this is in Morning Glory on January 8th, writes that, quote, on the great biographer Ida M. Tarbell's 80th birthday, somebody asked her to name the greatest persons that she'd ever met. She responded, "The greatest persons I have ever met are those nobody knows anything about." Once the New York Times was asked to help a group of club women decide on the 12 greatest women in the United States. After due consideration, the editors replied, "The 12 greatest women in the United States are women who have never been heard of outside of their own lives and their homes." Jones concluded, "I ask you, who is greater, Thomas Edison or his mom?" When he was a young lad, his teacher sent him home with a note that said, "Your child is dumb. We can't do anything for him." Mrs. Edison wrote back, "You do not understand my boy. I will teach him myself." And she did, with results that are well known today. So here's the closing today and your challenge. Let's honor all mothers today. All mothers, all bonus moms, all extended moms, all moms that are living vicariously through others. Let's honor our moms today, amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your design, your plan, your unfolding gift of life to us and the gift of salvation through your son, Jesus Christ. But Jesus had to come to earth to cross that Rubicon, that barrier of death, and to overcome it through the shedding of his own blood and his sacrifice on the cross for all of us. Lord, let us never lose sight that you had a great sacrifice to do that because you loved us first. And Jesus had to be born of flesh through a wonderful woman named Mary who had many wonderful attributes, but she was still human. She made mistakes. She struggled. She probably thought about, "What is this Jesus guy? You know, my son, he's disappointed me." I wonder if she struggled with those human emotions, even the most perfect child of all time. And Father, we know that on Mother's Day, we have lots of moms that we need to celebrate. And if we are fortunate, we can still today reach out and call them and say, "Happy Mother's Day, Mom." Father, I pray that we love them and we honor them and respect them. And for those that are earthly moms to others through relationships or through being a bonus mom, Lord, I am so thankful for those ladies who step up to the challenge and are willing to go above and beyond the call of duty. Maybe they never had children. Maybe whatever their situation may be, that's just their place in life. But because of that and because of their willingness to be obedient to you, they touch lives all around them. Thank you for their willingness and their obedience. Lord, let us never lose sight of the fact that Jesus had a mom. And through her life and through her examples, we can live holier lives today. Not perfect lives, not ones that you know would set us apart in a negative way, but Lord, draws us back to the fact that you're a great God and that Jesus had a mom and Mary was a wonderful mom. Father, let us go and honor all of our moms today, every chance we get. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.